You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
I'm Hannah Halley, and today we're looking at one of the most powerful, least visible figures in global finance, Larry Fink. As co-founder, chairman, and CEO of BlackRock, he's become a gatekeeper of capital, influencing markets, companies, and policy around the world. But his story is also about risk, purpose, leadership, and how influence in business works at the highest scale. Let's dive into his journey. Lawrence Larry Fink was born in 1952 in Los Angeles. He studied political science and then earned an MBA from UCLA. Early in his career, he joined First Boston, where he became known for trading bonds and mortgage-backed securities. He helped form the mortgage and real estate products groups there and led big units of risk and fixed income. But he also experienced failure, a massive loss of about $100 million at First Boston. This changed his perspective and discipline around risk. That loss sharpened his conviction that financial firms must manage risk continuously. In 1988, Fink and seven partners founded BlackRock as part of Blackstone. Over time, BlackRock spun off, and under Fink's leadership, it grew to become the largest asset manager in the world. Today, BlackRock manages over $11 to $12 trillion in assets. Fink's leadership style is shaped by early lessons in failure, discipline, teamwork, and inventing structures that scale. He retained control and steering power through those early years, guiding BlackRock through acquisitions, growth, and crises. Larry Fink didn't just grow a giant money manager. He built platforms, influence, and directional capital. Under his guidance, BlackRock became more than a fund house. It became a technology company, a risk platform, and a voice on purpose in business. One of the key innovations is Aladdin, BlackRock's internal risk and portfolio management system. Aladdin is used not only by BlackRock, but licensed to other financial institutions. It models risk exposures, stress scenarios, asset correlations. It gives users a shared language to talk about risk, capital, and portfolios. That means Fink's firm isn't just managing money, it's influencing how financial institutions see risk and allocate capital globally. BlackRock also expanded aggressively via acquisitions. It absorbed Barclays Global Investors, acquiring the iShares ETF business, which massively expanded its reach in passive investing. That move positioned BlackRock at the intersection of active and index investing, giving it power across investment styles. More recently, Fink has led a wave of acquisitions into private markets. In 2025, BlackRock spent around $28 billion acquiring firms like Global Infrastructure Partners, HPS, Investment Partners, and Preqin. These moves push BlackRock further into infrastructure, private credit, data, and alternative assets. It's a bet that the next frontiers of capital will be outside public markets, where less transparency but higher margins lie. Beyond deals, Fink uses his position to push ideas. His annual letter to CEOs has become influential. He asks executives to balance profit and purpose, to consider climate risk, stakeholder value, long-term thinking. He urges firms to be accountable to communities, environment, employees. In many quarters, he is seen as part of the stakeholder capitalism movement. He also sits on major institutional boards, NYU, World Economic Forum, Museum of Modern Art, among others. That gives him influence beyond markets, in education, culture, global governance. What this shows is that Fink's influence isn't just about where money flows. It's about how we measure risk, how we define purpose, how institutions see their responsibilities. He's trying to shape standards, norms, frameworks, and he wields money as both tool and signal. Fink's influence comes from blending authority, foresight, and public voice, but it also draws criticism. He speaks often against short-termism, the idea that business thinking should go beyond quarterly returns to long-term value. He argues leaders must embed purpose into profit, not treat purpose as distraction. That has caused tension. Some CEOs resist what they see as moralizing from a capital manager. Fink has been critiqued for conflicts. BlackRock manages money for governments, pension funds, large institutions, while also advising regulators. Does that give BlackRock too much influence over public policy? At times, that tension is raised in financial media and policymaking circles. Succession is another challenge. At age 72, Fink has acknowledged he doesn't intend to overstay, but he believes his potential successors are not yet ready. Some top executives like Mark Weidman have departed, complicating transition plans. His approach is to stay involved in governance, maintain follow-through, and keep oversight. He balances power with humility, consistently saying, "I don't want to be the guy who stays too long," and offers to remain chairman to support the transition. Fink also faces the tension between activism and fiduciary obligation. He pushes climate and ESG themes, but some critics say his actions sometimes lag or are constrained by client demands, politics, or regulation. Yet his leadership philosophy remains consistent. Embed integrity, prioritise long-term thinking, leverage data and risk systems, use voice responsibly. His power comes not just from his title, but from being a reference point for other leaders. Looking ahead, the test for Larry Fink is how well he weaves legacy with relevance. BlackRock's acquisitions into infrastructure and private assets bet on the changing nature of capital. If they succeed, Fink's influence may extend beyond public markets into shaping global development. Another legacy area is corporate purpose. If the ideas he pushes, balancing profit and environmental, social, community obligations, become widely adopted, that becomes part of his intellectual impact, not just financial. But there are serious risks: regulatory backlash, scrutiny over conflicts, internal talent turnover, market downturns, and a difficult succession. If the firm mismanages integration of its acquisitions or loses grip on risk, its scale means failures would be high impact. Still, Fink's influence at this moment is vast. He shows us that business influence is not just building money, but defining frameworks, shaping norms, pushing boundaries. He is a case where capital, ideas, institutions, and public purpose collide. Larry Fink's journey is a reminder: influence in modern business lives at the intersection of capital, ideas, and responsibility. He teaches that building power isn't enough. You must use it, sustain it, question it. If this episode gave you insight into how money and morality, markets, and purpose intersect, please subscribe, leave a review, and share with someone who cares about what business can be. I'm Hannah Halley, and this was Icons of Influence. Until next time, lead thoughtfully, influence ethically, build for legacy.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. "Honey, there's water in the basement." Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.